Welcome to episode 21 of the Further Than You Thought. Welcome to episode 21 of the Further Your Fitness podcast. This episode is slightly followed on from the last one, but it has no real direction to it, to be honest with you. It's just a few things that I've picked up over the last week or so regarding fitness, some weird shit and some kind of just general things I've picked up on that might be helpful for people. The first topic being the correlation does not equal causation. So, for example, the main one that I've picked up on is CrossFit. And before anyone says anything or starts, I'm not bashing CrossFit at all. But I've noticed that a lot of people will go to CrossFit for the wrong reasons, I think. I think if you generally are interested in performance goals and fitness, like general fitness, you know, that's fine. But you'll find a lot of people will, they'll look at CrossFitters, usually high-end, highly skilled CrossFitters, and they'll say, I want to look like that, therefore I'm going to do CrossFit. And this is what I mean by correlation does not equal causation. So just because someone who does CrossFit looks a certain way does not mean that if you do CrossFit, you are going to look that way for so many different reasons. CrossFitters aren't directly in shape because they do CrossFit. That's kind of like me looking at Chris Bumstead and saying, "Oh, I want to start bodybuilding so I can look like Chris Bumstead." Just because I start to train like him does not mean I will end up looking like Chris Bumstead. CrossFitters will typically, you don't know for a start how, what their schedule looks like, what their eating looks like, what their recovery is like, what load they're lifting, you know, their calories, for example, their output after CrossFit sessions. So again, In this specific instance, the correlation is this guy or this woman does CrossFit, and the causation is, therefore, I'm going to look like that if I do CrossFit. You can't just look at someone and look at their one simple factor in their life and say, I'm going to look like that if I do this. There's so much individuality with it, you know. You may struggle to lift, say, for example, this CrossFitter does 2 a day, which isn't recommended, I wouldn't say. Will you be able to do that? Will you be, maybe this person that you're aspiring to look like is single. They have plenty of time on their hands to prep food. They have plenty of time to sleep. You know, and then there's you who does a 12-hour job, is run off their feet constantly, gets 6 hours sleep a day. You know, there's so many things to factor in, so you can't just look at one person and think, if I do this, I'll look like that. So that's kind of what I mean. Another example of it is Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth has an app, I believe, called Center. But it's spelled weirdly. I don't think there's an E in it for some reason. Because that's what the cool kids do these days. He has an app where, again, I'm not bashing the app. There's a lot of bodyweight exercises, a lot of bodyweight circuits involved with it. There's recipes, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure if they take into account calories. I don't know if they do any calorie counting or macros on it, but a lot of the workouts there are centered around, they might throw in the odd kettlebell or whatever, but it's a lot of high intensity circuits, a lot of bodyweight stuff. And people, again, correlation wise, will be like, if I do these workouts, I will look like Chris Hemsworth. And I will caveat this in saying that Chris Hemsworth typically doesn't always look in his kind of Thor physique, where he's very big, he's very filled out, his arms are massive. I think I've read or watched an interview with him saying that he doesn't really enjoy being Thor size because he finds that he has to eat a lot of calories to look like that. people will look at that and they'll use the Centre app. They'll watch Thor, any Thor film or Avengers film, and they'll be like, right, if I do this, I'll look like Chris Hemsworth. Now, I don't know his routine, and again, I'm not bashing Chris Hemsworth because he doesn't say in any of his advertising, if you join my app, you will look like Thor. But there, again, there are so many factors that come into what he looks like for Thor, including his calories. I think he has to go upward of 3,000 calories because he's an active person. He doesn't gain muscle too easily. He has to really force himself to eat, I think I've heard him say. So I can almost guarantee that him doing these bodyweight exercises and these cardio circuits are not what he does to look like Thor. I'm fairly sure he has his own trainer for his roles as Thor, and he would definitely use a lot of resistance training, a lot of compound movements, your bench, your squat, your deadlift, possibly. And progressive overload, he'd want to get stronger to gain that size. He'd have to eat a lot. So again, be careful of the methods that are used in order to look a certain way. People ignore the science. I can see why. It's a lot easier to see the flashy videos and things and think, oh, I want to look like that. I'm going to do this. But there's so much things in the background that go along with looking these certain ways. Again, food-wise, you don't realise how important it is to recover, to eat sufficiently, whether you're trying to lose weight or gain weight. Caloric input is massive, caloric output, sorry, is very important, depending on your goal, whether you want to gain weight, lose weight. You really need a specific tailored approach to it. You can't just say, that person does that, so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to look like that. It doesn't work like that. And how many times have I said that in the last five to 10 seconds? So again, if you're going to join an app or copy someone's workout, just realize that one, it needs to be tailored to you. So you need to take into account your lifestyle, as I've said many, many times, your lifestyle and your own weight, your own height, your own age. All of these things come into it. So you can't just copy someone else's plan and correlate that to create causation. The same goes with nutrition. So I've touched on training here, but you can't, if you talk to some guy in the gym and he's in good shape and you say to him, look, how did you look? Do you look like that? And he turns to you or she turns to you and they say, oh, I'm keto. And you go, brilliant. Sign me up. Throw all the bread and rice in the bin. There you go. That's my cock up for the day. You can't, or fasting, for example, if you are talking to another person in the gym or you hear about fasting and you think, oh, that sounds perfect for me, and you've got a high labor job and you're skipping breakfast and you're working non-stop until 12, 1 o'clock till you eat, you are going to be absolutely wrecked. And if your goal is to gain size, then, and you're fasting, that doesn't make sense because you need calories to gain muscle and you need your carbs, your protein, adequate protein. So you really need to not correlate someone else's success and assume that if you do the same thing, you're going to have that success, because it doesn't work like that. So that's one thing that I've picked up the last couple of weeks, that I felt needed addressing in a longer form rather than just social media. It's hard to get all these points across. So that's one. So correlation does not equal causation. So that's one thing to take away from this so far. The other amazing thing that I saw on the internet this week, I think it was on Joe Rogan, but it wasn't actually Joe Rogan who said it. It was one of his guests, so that one of the guys who hangs around with him, sits on the side. I don't really know how it works. I don't really listen to Joe Rogan, but this came up on the internet recently, which I found fascinating. It was, he said that he is with some kind of weight loss company that said that a banana was 0 points. I don't know if you're aware of the point system in these places, but they're like points that you have to stay below. So a banana was 0 points, so I had zero kind of negative aspects to it. And then if you blended the banana, it was something like 9 points, which is absolutely mental. A banana is however many calories. If you blend that banana, it will still be the same amount of calories. Nothing's added to it. It doesn't chemically change suddenly because you've blended it. If anything, you probably have less calories to it because you'd struggle to scoop all the banana out of the smoothie or the blended part of the banana. So for example, if you chucked the banana in, or well, if you ate it as normal, I was going to do the action then, which I will not do because that would look weird. You are going to eat all of the banana effectively because it's there to be eaten, and it's much easier to eat it all. If you put it in a blender, then a lot of the banana will get stuck to the sides. So if anything, you're probably going to eat less of the banana, so it would be less calories. I'm not going to go on a tirade of slagging off all of these certain companies and you know, they are out there to help you. It's a community, which is helpful. You know, I know a lot of them do meetings where, you know, there's a lot of support. There's a lot of accountability because you weigh in. I think the problem with them is that if you kind of label foods as points, or I know some use them as sins, is that it doesn't teach you anything. It doesn't teach you the caloric value of food. It doesn't teach you what it can and can't do for you. For example, it doesn't show you that proteins can be highly filling. And then it doesn't show you that carbs are actually quite handy for you in terms of your energy output, building muscle. It doesn't teach you anything really. It just says that this is okay to eat, this isn't okay to eat, which again is a very dark way of trying to manipulate food. It can be a handy tool in terms of, like I said, keeping you accountable and keeping you focused, but it really doesn't help you in terms of teaching, which is a poor way of trying to help people mentally get over how to utilize foods in their day. On the other side of it, it doesn't help when you use the term sins and even points to a certain degree. You can't demonize foods because if you're saying that a banana is 9 points, what is it like? Just above 100 calories, if that, depending on the size of the banana. And if you're teaching people that you shouldn't be eating bananas because there are a certain amount of points, then that is such a bad way. It's a fruit for a start. It's got tons of benefits, potassium. You know, it has a ton of things that will help you, yet you're going around and saying that you can't blend a banana because it's a certain amount of points. It's a really bad route to go down. So in summary, there are better ways of going about your food and your weight loss goals, which leads me into just a recap. Actually, how cooked is that? I say cooked. How crazy is it that there are people out there that think, and this, if you can go and find the video somewhere, he genuinely believes that by blending a banana, it was, I think he said that it was definitely making him gain weight. So this banana, if he had ate it as it was, he would have been fine. But because he blended it, he was gaining weight. And this guy's quite a heavy, hefty bloke. So that's clearly messed with his mindset in terms of how he perceives food. If he had just tracked the food, so if he had just said, put into MyFitnessPal or whatever app he used, or however he gets that knowledge, he would fully understand that, okay, it's a banana, it has X amount of carbs, X amount of calories, and fit it into his day that way, then if he had blended it, it wouldn't have made a difference at all. And he'd be able to fully understand that it's a banana at the end of the day. Which leads me into the pros and cons of weighing yourself and using the scales. Now, this is a hot topic recently. I say hot topic, it's been a hot topic forever. You get people who are either pro jumping on the scales. I personally do, but I'll come on to that in a bit as to why. And you have people who absolutely detest jumping on the scales, or they just think that it doesn't matter, or it has no value. And I'm going to caveat both of them in a way and say that it doesn't have to be either way. You don't have to be fully on to your scales. You don't have to be like, oh, you have to weigh every day and be obsessed over it. And you also don't have to be never jump on the scales ever, because it's pointless and it's bad for you. I can see the psychological element of that in terms of, you know, if you really get affected by jumping on the scales and it's a bit of a downer and you obsess over it, then I could say fair enough. But also, I'd suggest you just limit the amount of times you jump on the scales. Pick days. I get my clients to do it twice a week. And if they want to do more, they can, because I'll come on to that in a bit. But I usually pick a Tuesday. So if they have higher calories on the weekend, then at least there's a bit of a buffer between. So it's not an instant impact. If I did it on a Sunday or Monday, it'd be really high, which would be demotivating. And then a Friday typically, or a Saturday morning, where it's more of a true reflection of where they're at. And then over a couple of weeks or a couple of months, you just take the average of it. If it's going down, if there's a downward trend. And I tend to avoid spikes up or down, because there are so many things that can affect weighing yourself, including water, the timing of your meals, sleep sometimes. Like if you don't have a lot of sleep and you're not rested, then maybe that can affect it. Salt and sodium in your foods. If you have a high sodium meal and you're drinking water, alcohol's another one. It can go both ways with alcohol, because it can dehydrate you, but it can also, a lot of calories. Women especially can find fluctuations in their weight through what time of the month they're weighing. So there's so many things that can affect the scales, but it's good to take an average. Now, this is where I find that people on the demonizing side of things will go wrong, because they say that I think I saw a post the other day that it doesn't matter with fat loss. Now, which is a bit of a wrong thing to say, because the scales should be showing a downward trend in some way. They don't have to drastically move in order to lose weight. They can be just a little bit, and you can find that sometimes inches and measurements will go down, but then you're kind of going down the route of recomp, which is a very long and slow process unless you're a beginner. If you're a beginner, recomping is doable. But if you are an experienced trainer and you do a lot of resistance training, then it's not something that'll happen overnight. So it is important to look at the scales. If you're trying to lose weight, then you should see a downward trend. Like I just mentioned now, you might get spikes. So for example, if you're 80 kilos and you want to get to 75, for argument's sake, you should see over the weeks it coming down slowly. You might go 1 week or 2 weeks, you might go from 80 to 79, but in between that you might see the odd 79.8, 79.2, 79.5. So it'll go up and down. But the overall trend over the weeks should be slowly moving towards 75, because fat loss is fat loss. It will have an impact on the ground. I'm not saying that you should value your whole life on the scales, but if you do have a goal, a fat loss goal, then you should be using the scales. You don't have to. Like I said, you could use measurements and other metrics if you really hate the scales. But that doesn't mean that you should completely disregard the scales in terms of results, because that is what you're looking for at the end of the day. And it's a way of measuring it. It's a way of actually tracking your progress, because otherwise you're not sure how to alter. You're going in blind, effectively. You don't know whether you should alter your steps. You shouldn't know. You don't know if you need to up your activity, change your training in any way. Similarly, in terms of gaining muscle mass, it's the same thing. You should be seeing a little bit of a trend upwards in the scales. In respect of people who demonize the scales, it's not a reflection of your fitness, your health, or your shape. You know, you shouldn't take the scales as like, if it's you have a bad day and they've shot up, you shouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm a terrible person, this is going awfully, I'm going to go on a 20k run. That's where you need to kind of take it with a pinch of salt and take it into perspective. You know, if you've got a long-term goal, just think that it's a long-term goal, and you don't have to absolutely just lose your shit, basically. But again, the scales are a good marker for whether you're going in the right direction. And I'm fairly sure I have covered everything that I wanted to cover in this episode. It's a short one. I just thought I'd squeeze it in because I have the time, and had a few things that have come up on the internet, especially that I wanted to address. So in summary, correlation does not equal causation. If you see someone doing a certain thing, do not gravitate towards that because they, you think that you will get the same results, because it doesn't work like that. Do not sack off blending foods because you think that they will actually go up in calories, because that's just the craziest thing I've heard in a while, actually, for the fitness industry, which is impressive. And do not demonize or obsess over the scales. Just take it into account that they're there for a reason, and there are a lot of things that can affect the scales, and it's not the be-all and end-all that it will be the end of the world if you increase your weight. It's a long-term thing, and you should be taking the averages of your weights, not just individual days. And that's all I have for this week. It's the most consistent I've had. I've had a week in between podcasts, which is amazing. So come on, pat on the back to me. Round of applause. As always, I appreciate you listening, and would appreciate in return that you share this to your stories. Tell a friend, share the link with anyone. Leave a review. Whatever other people suggest that you do in these circumstances. And hopefully I will be back again, and it won't be a year and a half in between episodes. So thank you for listening.